If you will, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start here. But first, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place to meet in that you provided for us. And we pray for the business that works here, that you meet their needs and keep the doors open. And Father, this morning especially, we pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with these people and to comfort them as only you can, and to show them the need of salvation if they're not saved. And Father, we ask you this morning to build us up in the faith and teach us your word by your Spirit. And especially, Lord, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, begin with me at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to talk to you about the doctrine that is in Romans to Philemon, because I know the doctrine in Romans to Philemon is different than any doctrine in the Bible. You understand? I want to talk to you about this doctrine here. And the word doctrine just means what to teach. It means teaching. So Paul told Timothy to teach some that they teach no other doctrine. So if I go back here and I look at the doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do that with me. Go to John, start in John chapter 7. Go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And by the way, when you see Jesus Christ teaching, that ought to trigger something in your mind. You got any idea about, in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about teaching? Let me show you why I'm saying that. Good morning. Go to Hebrews. Hold what you got. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. I was listening to a tape yesterday of Peter Ruckman out of Pensacola over there, out of college over there, that he trained people to go out and teach and preach and all. And he says we're in the new covenant. Well, we ain't in the new covenant. New covenant ain't been made yet. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8, now this is about the new covenant. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. In the new covenant, will there be any teachers? No, there will not. So let's look at chapter 9 while we're here about this new covenant. Now, verse 14, and he's putting the blood of Jesus Christ against the blood of bulls and goats is what he's doing. He's comparing the two here. In verse 14, Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, in other words, the blood of Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats, you understand? Because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away their sins. So the blood of Christ could, okay? Under the new covenant. Now watch what happens here. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament. Well, who is the New Testament going to be made with according to Hebrews 8? It's going to be made with Israel, isn't it, in Judah?
Absolutely.
After those days. And that would include, and I doubt the writer of Hebrews really realized this, I believe he's after these days here of dispensation of grace, then after the days of the tribulation, which is 7 years long, then after that, the second coming, new covenant established. You understand? Now, it's not hard to understand this if we believe the Bible. Now, verse 15, for this cause is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression, that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator. Now watch verse 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Is Jesus Christ alive in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Yes.
He's not crucified until the ends of the chapters, if you want to put him in there. He's at the end and not at the beginning of his life. This is Old Testament. This is neither old nor new in here. This is a mystery we started studying last week about prophecy versus mystery, and all of this is mystery over here. Some of it was hid in the Scriptures. Some of it was hid in God until revealed to the Apostle Paul in Acts 18, and we now live in this dispensation here. It's called the dispensation of the gospel of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is committed to me for you Gentiles, a specific group of Gentiles, such as Gentiles in the world today, and it don't make no difference if you are a Jew, a Gentile, or what you are today. God Almighty has provided through the mystery of the gospel a way for you and anybody you know to be saved by just trusting what Christ did at Calvary. Nothing else added to it. No water baptism. No repenting of your sins. Listen, Paul did not bring doctrine to the church, the body of Christ, and say, repent of your sins. I'm going to show you that if you believe this book. Now, I know that a testament is made after the testator dies. So Jesus Christ dies. So he said, after those days, the rapture of the church goes out. The Lord deals with Israel in the tribulation, and that's what he trained them in Matthew 24. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel 9, he said, when you see him stand in the holy place, run, flee to the mountains and hide, for the day of his wrath is come. And after the wrath over here, the second coming, then he sets up his thousand-year millennial kingdom over here, and then they go into the kingdom, those back here that died in faith, that were under the blood of sacrifices back here. We just say that's the animals that they sacrificed on the altar. So when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he paid for their sins. You understand? If you got a question, let's talk about it before we go too far. So when he died at Calvary, he not only died for the sins of that were under the Old Testament, but he also died for our sins, which was a mystery. You understand? And he died for my sins, although I could not bless the seed of Abraham, because the seed of Abraham is not God's people today. And I have no hope. No way to get to God. Ephesians chapter 2 ain't got nothing to do with Acts chapter 10. Cornelius in Acts 10 is not a type of the church, the body of Christ today. You understand? Cornelius feared God and worked righteousness and gave much alms to the people, and he was water baptized after he believed. How did they know that he believed?
They received the tongue.
How did Peter and those that went with Peter into Cornelius' house know how that Cornelius and his household received the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Tongues were for a sign. Jews required signs. We walk by faith in the church, the body of Christ, and not by signs. Now, back to John chapter 17.
Seven.
I apologize. Chapter 7. Thank you. John chapter 7, verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. So you know he's still in the Old Testament. You understand? That's why we went to Hebrews, to prove to you that this is Old Testament. Because in New Testament, there are no teachers. And y'all know in here that we're not New Testament saints, don't you? Do you know what Ephesians chapter 4 is about? He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He gave pastors and what?
Teachers.
We have teachers today. I need a teacher. I do not have the unction that those in 1 John chapter 2 verse 27 have. I do not have the Holy Spirit abiding in me to teach me all things. Those people over here need not a teacher. You understand? Now, I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and the Holy Spirit of promise dwells in me, but I'm not empowered by the Holy Spirit to work miracles and signs and wonders and to understand all the Bible without studying and without a teacher to build me up in the faith, to keep me from being tossed to and fro. You understand? Now, John chapter 7, verse 15. And the Gentiles marveled, saying, how? Huh? Did I do something wrong?
Yeah, you did a big job.
Okay, I apologize. And the Jews. You mean Jesus Christ ain't talking to Gentiles? Well, why would I want to go to a church that tells me, well, we believe in following Jesus, not Paul, when you can't follow Jesus in his earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It is directly impossible for you to follow Jesus Christ in his teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you follow it letter for letter, you can't do it. Is there anybody in here that didn't get Thanksgiving dinner? I'm still reaping the benefits of it. Did somebody have to take thought for what we ate on Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah.
I imagine some of these ladies that cooked Thanksgiving dinner started a day or two before. Don't you expect? Well, beloved, in the teaching in here, Jesus Christ said, don't take no thought for what you're going to eat. Now, you can't take thought for something while not taking thought for it. It don't work that way. They're opposite. It don't work that way. So, beloved, our doctrine is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, watch what Jesus Christ tells these people in John chapter 7, these Jews that he's talking to, verse 15. And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? You know how he knew them? He's God manifest in the flesh, beloved. He's empowered with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist baptized him in Matthew chapter 3, and he saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. He didn't see a dove lighting on him. He saw the Spirit like a dove lighting onto him. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Well, who was Jesus Christ sent to? Let's check it out. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Now, beloved, you've just got to believe the Bible means what it says. There ain't no need to be telling you to go get Dr. Snodgrass' book and see what he says about the verse. Just believe the verse means what it says. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word.
What?
Huh? You mean this compassionate Jesus that loved everybody, and he wouldn't even talk to this woman? Come on, beloved. Did he answer this woman?
No.
The Bible says he answered her not a word. Verse 22, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Lord, excuse me, send her away, for she crieth out to us. Did the disciples answer her any word?
No.
You mean the 12 that Jesus Christ trained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Here's a woman that's wanting her daughter healed, and they won't even talk to her? There's something wrong. The reason's right here in the verse. Look at it. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called this woman a dog. Now, you want to get up a fist fight, call somebody next time you meet with them and you're talking about spiritual things, say, well, you dog, get on out of here. You ain't nothing but a dog. You might get your nose busted or your black eye or something. No. Look what he says here. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now listen, you think for a little bit that people would pay attention to what their preacher's teaching. Because if he puts you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's got to make you a sheep. You understand?
Yes.
I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. So Jesus Christ told us in John chapter 7 that his doctrine was not his, but the Lord that sent him. It's his doctrine. So he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And after we read Acts 26, I want to show you what his doctrine was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is contrary to the doctrine in Romans to Philemon. But you can match his doctrine over here in the book of Hebrews through Revelation. You understand? Paul's doctrine will not match Hebrews through Revelation. It is contrary to it. It's not the same. And the things that ain't the same, things that are different, are never the same. You understand? Daylight ain't the same as nighttime. You know, when I think about daylight, my mind goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Y'all know what Paul calls this time here? Night. What is it? What happens when daylight leaves and night comes? Gets dark, don't it? If you've ever been in the woods, and I have, if you've ever been in the woods, go in there in the daylight. I've got lost in the woods before. It took me from dark, about 6 o'clock one evening, to 9 o'clock to find my way out. I was in some strange land, hunting. Got dark, everything looked just alike. All the trees look alike. Everything in there looks alike. Nighttime. Israel is in nighttime. nighttime. Romans to Philemon, nighttime to Israel. They're in darkness. They need somebody to teach them. You understand? A teacher? Nighttime, from here to here for Israel. They won't have no light until their light returns. Jesus Christ told them in the book of John, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Jesus Christ left here. It's nighttime to Israel. Y'all know the first miracle that Paul did in the book of Acts? After the Holy Spirit sent forth Paul and Barnabas, he blinded a Jew. He's a type of Israel in blindness today. Nighttime. So when I go back in my mind to Genesis about the day and the night, I see Malachi chapter 4. The S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, with healing in His wing. Y'all know what Jesus Christ did in His doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? He healed all that came unto Him. He gave His 12 apostles power to heal. He gave the apostle Paul power to heal those who first trusted in Christ, saw the healing. They heard the speaking in the tongues. They saw the miracles. They did all of that thing. They were allied with Israel. But when you get over here to people such as us, no more healing. You know, it just burns me to the quick. And I have to stop myself and calm myself down lest my blood pressure boil out the top of my head. People send millions and millions of dollars to these stinking charlatans that claim they can heal. And there's old Oral Roberts that claimed he could heal. And what did he do? Do y'all know what Oral Roberts did? He built a hospital. Huh? Why would he need a hospital if God Almighty gave him the power to heal people? Something wrong. You know what? People don't see past the end of their nose. Beloved, it's time to pay attention. I believe, according to what Paul said, in the latter days over here in the dispensation that we live in, people are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. God Almighty, back in Genesis, gave the sun to rule the day. You know who rules the night? The lesser light. You know who the lesser light is? Paul said, in whom the God of this world, Satan, the God of this world, he's the God of the nighttime. I believe that with all my heart. God gave two lights, a greater light and a lesser light. And Lucifer means illuminated. In other words, it's light. And you know that some of your Bibles in Isaiah changed the wording in there to make Lucifer the bright morning star. When Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 16 says, I am the bright morning star. And people tote these Bibles and say this is the Word of God. No way, Jose. God Almighty cannot lie. God said something. He sent Jesus Christ to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He did not send him to Gentiles such as us. Now, Acts 26. The Apostle Paul is giving his account of what happened in Acts 9, verse 13. At midday, O king, now this happened in Acts 9. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Where is Jesus Christ at? Heaven. Gone to heaven, beloved. He's above all heavens above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that's Israel, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Did Jesus Christ send Paul to the Gentiles?
Yes.
Go to John chapter 13. And this ain't the only place you'll find this. John chapter 13. Verse 20. John 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Did Jesus Christ send the Apostle Paul?
Yes.
Who did he send him to?
Gentiles.
Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Now, Paul told Timothy to teach some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, beloved, I'm not going to teach you, and I am not authorized to teach you that Jesus Christ was sent to you. You understand? God Almighty said that Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is clear about that. Paul was sent to Gentiles. You understand? Now, Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Go to chapter 15, verse 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. That I, this is Paul, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Did Paul say that he was the minister to the Gentiles?
Yes.
Well, no more problem about that, have we? Anybody got a problem about... Well, I tell you what, dude. Let's don't stop there. Let's do one more verse. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, you want to follow Jesus Christ, you cannot follow Christ today without following the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
You cannot do it. It's impossible for you to do the instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John unless you sweep some of them under the rug and forget about it. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Listen to me. Would you show me somewhere in the Scriptures where Paul followed Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry? Did we not read in Acts that Jesus Christ said, I am Jesus whom thou what?
Loved?
No. Whom thou persecuted. Paul, when he followed Christ, he was persecuting those people that believed in Christ. Acts chapter 8 is very clear. If he found any of that way, he bound them. Give consent unto their death. Spoke against the Holy Ghost. Paul could not be saved under the gospel of the kingdom. Now let's check out this different doctrines. Go with me to go to Romans chapter 6. Take Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 4, Matthew 19, Romans chapter 6. All right, in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Are we under the law?
No.
Are members of the church, the body of Christ, under the law?
No.
Anybody got a problem with not understanding what the verse said? You see, it ain't whether you understand it or not, it's whether you believe it or not. You understand? The Bible said, through the Apostle Paul, and Paul told us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, that this is a form of wholesome words from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul. He said, the things that thou hast seen and the things in which I will appear unto you, Acts 18, in the temple. This is on the road to Damascus. This is in the temple. Further dispensation that we now live in. And it's about to cease. It's got to cease. You know why? God Almighty can't deal with Israel in vengeance until we're out of the way.
Amen.
Got to get us out of here. And I don't like to use this term before lack of knowledge. I expect he's chomping at the bits up there wanting to pour out his wrath on his people Israel for the time that they went into apostasy and idolatry back here, worshipped all kinds of idols, all kinds of things they made in the likeness of things in heaven above and on the earth and in the water beneath. They bowed down to it and they worshipped those things. Then that ain't God. God said there's no breath in them. They can't even move from one place to another. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Because we're not under the law, we're under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now, is it right for us to sin?
No,
it's not. But are we under the sin? Does sin got any dominion over you?
No.
So we just live like hell then, huh?
Try not to leap in.
Well, I've even quit trying not to. So you just lied. I ain't gonna lie. I'm sorry. And there ain't nothing I can do about it. That's why God Almighty's got to change my vile body. It's a vile body. It ain't just because it's sick. It's vile. It's because of the sin that I inherited from Adam back here that dwells in me. You know, like the old saying, the devil made me do it. Well, that ain't really bad. Who is making you do bad? Now, come on now, be honest with yourself. Most of us do bad because we want to do bad, don't we?
Of course.
Now you're honest. Now we got that confession out of the way, we'll go on to something else. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, in other words, obey the law. What does the law do? The law condemns. The law brings a curse. You don't know what the last word in the so-called Old Testament is?
Curse.
Look at it. Turn to Malachi. In other words, most people say that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on through Revelation, New Testament. So just what is the last word in the book of Malachi, which is the last Old Testament book they claim?
Curse.
You know, they claim. You know what the last word is? Curse. All their lifetime. Listen to me. All their lifetime, Israel was under a curse. Cursed is every man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do. So if you yield yourselves under the law, you're yielding yourselves under a curse, and the law brings death. You understand? Death. Look what he says here. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death? Well, in other words, if you serve the law, you're under the curse of the death. You understand? Romans 6, verse 17, the last part of it. Are of obedience unto righteousness. Well, what is obedience unto righteousness then? Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. In other words, these people were under the law. You understand? But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What was the form of doctrine delivered to the Romans? Go to chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Well, who was the law given to?
Israel.
Acts chapter 7, verse 51, the law was given by the disposition of angels. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at chapter 9 while you're here. Hold what you got there. Look at chapter 9. It won't take but a couple of verses.
Yes, right there.
Verse 1. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the services of God, and the promises. Who was the law given to? Israel. Go back to chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. In other words, the law was given because of the offense. You understand? Now, the law was given to show people, hey, there ain't no way I can keep this law and get to heaven. Israel had it for 1,500 years and not a mumbling one of them was saved by the law. Not the first one. They couldn't do it. You know what Romans 8's about? The law was spiritual in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 8, the flesh was weak and couldn't keep it. So God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The law was nailed to the cross and done away with for the church, the body of Christ. Okay? That's the form of doctrine that was delivered. Look at Romans 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Not in. If you got a Bible that says faith in, you got the wrong book. Throw it in the trash can, get you a good 1611 King James Bible. It's faith of Christ. Jesus Christ had the faith to go to Calvary and become sin, become whatever the law says is contrary to God. That's what Jesus Christ became. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Y'all didn't believe I could speak in tongues, did you?
Yeah, I did.
I can't do too much with the English language, but
now,
go to Matthew chapter 19. You're holding Matthew 4 and Matthew 19. You're supposed to be. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Did he tell him to keep the commandments?
Yes.
All right. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? Now listen, we could handle some of that, couldn't we? Couldn't we? Couldn't we do those things he said there?
Yeah.
Paul told us the same thing in the book of Romans. You understand? Just because Paul used them terms in Romans didn't put us back under the law. You understand that? We're not under the law. We're under grace. The sin has no dominion over us. Why? We're not under the law, but under grace. Now, watch what happens on this. Don't quit right there. You see, a lot of your religious churches will stop right there. They won't tell you the rest of it. Now, let's look at the rest of it. Jesus, verse 21. I apologize, verse 20. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. Now you believe in following Jesus and his earthly ministry? You got to get up from here and go sell what you got. And don't be like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Ananias in Acts chapter 4, those people that believed Peter sold out everything they had, their lands and their houses. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold some stuff, kept back part of it. They are lost believers. They didn't believe God would take care of them. They lied to Peter, said, Yeah, we sold it for this much. And Peter said, Why have you lied to God? Said, You ain't lied to me and you lied to God. Fell over dead. His wife come in, said the same thing. He told her, said, They gone to bury your husband, they'll be back to get you. Blimp, fell over dead. Now you want to follow Jesus? You ain't. Listen, beloved, you can't. Don't play games with it. You either can or you can't. And you can't. If you sell out, you're going to starve to death. Now I know a man at work, I won't call his name. He had a son that got mixed up in this type of doctrine. They, a bunch of them sold out everything they had. They moved out west up on top of a mountain out there. I don't know what, remember what state it was in out there. And it wasn't long, his boy come home with his tail tucked under his, like an old whooped down dog, you know, begging daddy to take care of me. You see, these people that heard this, Luke 12, Luke 18, he said, Sell everything you got. Give to the poor, come follow me, you'll have treasures in heaven. They did that in Acts 2 and Acts 4. They sold their houses, they sold their goods, they sold everything they had. And they, you know what happened? When the Lord introduced this dispensation here to the Apostle Paul, they made an agreement with Peter and them that Paul would take care of the poor saints at Jerusalem. It wasn't because there wasn't no work to be done, beloved. It might have been an additional thing, but there was, those people sold out everything they had. And now they need somebody to help them. Paul told them that he would do that, and he verified that in Galatians chapter 2. He said, We were forward to do it. He took up a collection. And then the one besides that, he told them in the book of Romans, he said, it's your duty to do it. You know what? They've been making partakers of their spiritual things. Romans 15:27, check it out. You see, people that don't write the entire Paul's epistles, they reach over here in those first six epistles and they pick out things they like in here, but they don't do all of it. Paul said, forbid not speak in tongues. And beloved, those that keep the Lord's Supper out of here, they don't speak in tongues. They don't believe in it. And they lambast people, the Pentecostal people that are trying to do what he told them to do. You see, there's something wrong. Rightly divide. Not wrongly. Rightly divide. Now, go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23. Now, this is after Jesus Christ has been baptized in Matthew chapter 3. John baptized him. And in Matthew chapter 4, the devil came and tempted him 40 days and 40 nights. In verse 23 now, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching. Now there's your word again. So that verifies and proves to you that Matthew is not New Testament. Jesus Christ is still teaching. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What gospel is he preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. What did it maintain to do? Sell everything you got. Keep the commandments. That's what he told them. Now, look what he does here. Verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. Now listen, if we still are supposed to follow Jesus in the gospel of the kingdom, God Almighty is obligated. Now you listen to me. He is obligated to give me the power to heal people.
Right.
You understand? He's obligated because he said it. And what he said, he has got to perform. He told us that in the book of Numbers, chapter 23. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and will he not make it good? If God Almighty said it, he's got to do it. He can't go against his word. I hope y'all understand that I'm not being hateful and boisterous, but I'm telling you that there are people that are taking this Bible and playing games with it. And they got... I watched Joel Osteen today, and I bet there was 100,000 people sitting in that place, and he ain't told there one of them how to be saved. Walk out of that place and fall over dead and go to hell. Boy, they heard a good message, though. Boy, wasn't that nice? Yeah, what did he say? Well, I don't know, but it sure was good. Leave here, at least you can tell somebody you've been screaming and hollering at. So I don't know what he said, but boy, he sure was hollering. Go to Mark chapter 16. Now, this is part of the gospel of the kingdom. This is after his resurrection. Didn't change. Verse 14. And afterward he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I don't know of a church in the world that don't quote this verse right here, if they believe in water baptism. Well, why do they stop right there? Why don't they go on and tell you the rest of it? You know what they'll tell you? If you question them about it, they'll say, well, that wasn't in the original. Well, where? Show me the original. Well, I ain't never seen it. Well, how do you know it wasn't in the original? Well, that's what somebody said back yonder years ago. Well, I got it written down right here, and it's in my original 1611 King James Bible. Now, let's read the rest of it. And these, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. It did not say what a Church of Christ preacher, excuse me, a Church of Christ member tried to tell me. I said, what about this? He said, well, it says the apostles. I said, it does not say that. Look at verse 17. These signs shall follow who? Them that believe. It didn't say follow the apostles that believe. It says go ye preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth. These that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. Look what he said. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. He didn't say they may recover. He said they shall recover. So if Oral Roberts had the power that these people had, why build a stinking hospital? I listen, beloved, if we had this power today, we could tear down all hospitals in the world. This is not our dispensation. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Did the signs follow those that believed?
Yes.
It sure did. The Lord just told you it did. Now, for just a few minutes, go back to Matthew chapter 19 and 1 John chapter 2. 1 John will be on the other side of Hebrews. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st John. Matthew 19. One verse. Matthew 19, verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, and you can find this in John chapter 14 and other places in John, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And I know I've asked things in the Lord's name. I can see two pine trees in my mind right now that for years I've asked the Lord to get away, move them, get them out of there. And they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, you mean the Lord don't answer prayer? That ain't my prayer, beloved. Verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us Christ. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Are we to keep the commandments? Turn loose of what you got and go to Colossians with me. I want to get this in before we leave here. Go to Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him. Did it say if you keep the commandments, you're complete in him? Did it?
No.
And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, that spiritual baptism. And you can find the Lord talking about that in Luke chapter 12. Verse 12 now. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Here they are right here, those that Paul first went to, Jew and Gentile, in one body. Ephesians 1:12, there they are. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see Paul didn't say we were sealed? Did y'all pay attention to that? Who did he say? He said whom ye were sealed. Well, is Paul not sealed?
Yes.
He's already sealed now. You see, terminology means something. That's why the Satan's got these new books out. He leaves out the we's and the these and the pronouns and the nouns and all. So you get confused. You don't know who in the difference the Lord's talking to. Well, I know who he's talking to right here. He's talking to me. Paul said, and after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I know I'm sealed, and I know how long I'm sealed. Take two passages. Take 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 4. I know how long Paul is sealed. Ephesians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us. Is Paul sealed?
Yes.
And given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. How long are you sealed? Until the day of redemption. Are you sealed until you backslide?
No.
And now what, I got to go, I done something wrong yesterday. I got to go down to the altar then, repent and rededicate and get baptized again, because it ain't working no more. Now, beloved, we're sealed to the day of redemption. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. My time's up, and it's good to see you again. The rest of y'all, I appreciate y'all coming out on this wet, rainy day. Good to see you.
Good to see you.